Hello, may I welcome you to episode 81 of Moving Matters. I am your host, Colin Wynn. I hope Moving Matters will give you an insight to others working or have worked in this wonderful industry as I delve into their past, their present and their future. You will find a new episode of Moving Matters on the second and fourth Thursday of each month. In this episode, we discuss how my guest has been in and out of the industry for the past 10 to 15 years, working in the family business, although he was hoping for a career in football. We discuss his challenges, what he would change from his moving past, his high points, what changes he would make to the industry, the advice he would give starting out again, his predictions for the next 5 years, and what he does outside of the workplace. And as always, we end Moving Matters with a funny moving story. Well, two actually, one regarding a photograph and the other involving a chap called Jeremy. My guest this episode is James Langridge, Operations Manager of Near and Far Removals. Enjoy. Good afternoon, James. Welcome to Moving Matters. How are you today?
I'm all right, thank you, Colin. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Can you tell everybody about yourself and the length of time within the industry?
Yeah, so hi everyone, my name's James and I'm Head of Operations at Near and Far Removals in Nottingham. I've been in and out of this role, I'd say a good 10 to 15 years, would I say that? I don't know, not as Operations Manager, but I've been in and out of the business that much because it is my mum and dad's business. So being in and out of it like that, you know, went out from growing up. I was involved with my dad when he was in the yard. I was coming down as a young boy. I was trying to get involved with it, seeing what things were, boxes and things like that. And then, yeah, now I'm operations manager. So that takes on a big role. It does, you know, managing the lads and the things I do with staff out on the jobs, quoting. So, yeah, I'd say about that amount of time.
Were you always destined to come into the family business then?
I think my mum and dad thought I was, yeah. And they hoped, yeah. So I've got a sister as well who isn't involved in the family business, but she did actually work for a bit for us in the office. She's older than me, but she worked with my mum in the office for a bit. And then I did this part-time just out on the vans and the lorries with the lads. And then I think I fell upon it as this is going to be my career. So mum and dad, who have been very supportive of me with new ideas and things, have given me this role as operations manager, which means my dad can spend more time on the golf course.
So when did they start the business then, James?
So this was their 20th anniversary last year.
Right.
So my dad worked for a removal company in Nottingham.
Right.
For a couple of years, he did it, and I think he thought, well, I'll have a go at this myself. And along with my mum, got their heads together and started out. They did started out with a van and then expanded to 7.5-ton lorries. And now we've got 18-ton lorries, 7.5-ton lorries, and a 3.5-ton van. So I think my dad, he puts his mind to it and puts his heart and soul into it because I think he's very people orientated, and in removals, I think that's what you have to be.
Oh, definitely. You
know, definitely, because you're dealing with customers of all ages and abilities and things, and my dad's quite a caring person with sort of the elderly, and I think that suited him. So if he used to go out and do a quote, they get that personal touch.
Do you do some of the surveys?
So yeah, I started doing surveys now, how long ago? I'd probably say I've been doing about 5 years now, I have, yeah. This wasn't going to be my career. As you asked that question earlier, I was hoping to do something in football full time. But I went over to America to play football. I played football growing up and had my experience out in America and then decided to come back to England. I did a bit of coaching, a bit in schools with football. And then, how can I put it? I still play football now at a decent standard. I'm not going to reveal who for her and that, but you can search. But I play at a decent level, I do. I train it Tuesday and Thursdays, I do. And so do this alongside it. And the flexibility of this with it being my parents' business is good. I do put a lot of hours into the removals company, but then if I needed to finish early one day, I'm all right to go to my mum. Oh, can I finish early? I've got football.
Yeah. But I've always said, because you mentioned that your dad did the surveys.
Yes.
The best surveyor is the company owner.
Yeah.
Because he can make the decision then and there.
Of course he can, yeah. Yeah. I think you're right by saying that. I think if you have a estimator or a quotation person, whether it be man, woman, for any company, unless they've done the job themselves, I think you find it hard. It would be harder, whether it be, I don't know, somebody that's a gardener giving a quote, fitting windows, whatever it may be, unless you know how that job actually goes and the bits that you're not told about, you know, like struggling to get a sofa out in removals, yeah. Instance, you know a bit more, you know. So my dad's obviously been doing removals. He would probably go to a quote years ago, quote it. And again, we've come a long way with technology and performance of things. So it's years ago, it would just probably be on a piece of paper, it would, or in a notebook as he'd do it. But now, you know, we have the quotation sheets and everything like that. But he would know, oh yeah, that sofa's going to have to come around the back. So he probably would think about that when the timing of the quote, or we might have to take it round someone else's house, you know. And there's all little bits that somebody that, if they just worked in an office and went and did a quote, wouldn't probably know.
Yeah, and also if you are a salesperson employed by a company, your job is to do sales.
Of course, yeah, you hit the nail on the head there.
Sometimes you can't make the decision of, yes, that truck is available, whereas your dad, yourself, you would know what's going on. You can then say, yeah, we can get you in the diary, most definitely. So that's probably going to come back and say, I need to check in the office first with my ops manager.
Yes, yeah. So like you say, years ago, the first couple of years, he was doing it on his own. And then my mum was a bookkeeper, so she left that job and they did the business joint together. And so my mum works full-time in the office now. Well, I say full-time, maybe on a Friday she goes for a hair and nails and bits like that. Yeah, my dad's on the golf course. So. And they like the old cruise, but anyway. So my mum got involved in it, and she'd obviously never worked in removals or anything, but the way she's took to it, or the way she has taken to it, I think must have been very hard, because for anybody that's not worked in a job line to just come straight into it, she's had to learn it off my dad just on his own.
Yeah.
You know, if when he was just doing it the first couple of years, he was answering the phone out on removals. I wouldn't say man and van type, but he'd have lads obviously doing the removals with him with a few bits. But if a phone's ringing and you're carrying a washing machine, it's the last thing you want. That was in our kitchen at our home, it was, yeah. Our family home. Then we've got premises two doors down from where we are now. And now I'm sat in my own office recording this with you. My mum's next door with the girls in the office. We've got a reception waiting area, a kitchen and everything. So,
excellent. Well, can you tell everybody about the company and the services it offers?
Yeah, certainly. So the services that we offer at Near and Far are all the way from house removal, house to house, whether it be a bungalow, a flat, an apartment, a mansion. We offer a packing service. So that's where we go in with materials the day before,
yep.
Pack up, whether they want a part pack, a fragile pack, a full pack, which means the customer leaves us to it. Myself or my dad will go around and say, do you want a packing service? Do you want a quote for a pack? And they often say yes. We'll just see what the differences are in price. And we recommend that when we do a pack for somebody, they're going to stay there for that night. They are the last night in their house, that they put on their main bed the stuff that they don't want packing.
Yeah.
Because you can often count on it that the lads will go and start packing. Oh, we didn't put that to one side and it's been packed and put on the lorry. It has. So that's what we recommend we do. We do dismantling of furniture, so the wooden slatted bed that needs rebuilding at the new property, or whether it's the washing machine that needs unplumbing at the house to go to the new one, all services like that. We offer a house clearance / disposal. So sometimes the girls in the office will say somebody wants to book in. All bookings are taken in by the move manager, who is Debbie. So she sort of, as you'd say, right-hand man, but right-hand woman to my mum. She's there when my mum's not there. And she deals with all the bookings. So when we take full payment 7 days before, Debbie will often ask questions of how you're getting on with your packing, how's it all coming together?
Yeah.
And sometimes they might be, it's the fact that they want some furniture, you know, disposing of. If you've got an old, let's say, old chest of drawers that you think, well, I could get a new one from IKEA. We have skips in our yard. We can bring it back and dispose of that for them, because moving houses, plenty of things, you know, pets, bills and everything. And the last thing you want to be doing is going down the tip with your old chest of drawers.
Well, there is that, most definitely.
Other services we offer, we do commercial work and office work. So moving offices in the city centre to relocating them, putting them in storage. We offer storage for people that's house isn't ready, or say an office is being renovated. We can store the desks, cabinets, things like that. We have crate hire for computers and the screens, because obviously yep. they're quite valuable items in an office. So it's things like that that, again, when you say about removals, same with any industry, unless you're in it, you don't know how much is involved in it, I don't believe. You know, how many different routes and avenues there is to just move. People say, just move in this.
And you do storage, yes?
Yeah. We do storage as part of a service. So if we're putting somebody into storage, mattresses and sofas, we put them in they're like polythene bags, they are, because... Yeah. Something could be in storage for, I was talking with Katie, another girl in the office, just this morning about a customer we've had in a storage for 27 wow. months. Yeah. And Katie actually spoke to them the other day and said, we're just checking you, you know, you're all right and everything. He said, yeah.
We're alive.
We're alive and kicking. And just said to them that they were just waiting for a new property. So protecting their stuff is a big thing of ours. You can't just cram it all into a unit because it's somebody's belongings. And when you take it out, it needs to be in the same condition it went in.
So do you use storage containers, as in the wooden 250 cubic feet
containers? No, we don't use the wooden containers. We use units, as in shipping containers.
Right.
And self-store, where we've got padlocks on all the units, and then the customer has their own set of keys that they can access 24 hours.
Any reason why you didn't go down the containerized route?
Me personally, I'm not a fan of it. We used to work partners with a company that works in blue, beginning with P. Yeah, we used to be partners with them, we did, many years ago. And I see the state of them wooden pallet containers, and I just thought it's not a good impression. So your personal belongings are in one of them rattling around sometimes. And I prefer it to be flat in a lorry than flat in storage, not putting it in something to be then picked up by a forklift to be. There's many reasons for it. And I just prefer it to be solid and safe and secure. Yeah.
Interesting. Very interesting. So what challenges have you had to overcome then, James? Because you're still relatively young in this industry.
I am. Yeah, I am very young. Oh, challenges have I had to overcome? This removals itself.
Yeah.
It is a challenge. If there wasn't, I think we'd be bored. There's so many challenges all over the company there is. It could be, you could be waiting for keys you could until 4:30.
Oh, God, key waits, yeah.
Key wait, don't even start me on that, because I could rant and rant and rant.
Go on, James, let's talk about key waits.
Shall we? Let's go into it now then. Key wait, I mean, where to start? Like, that's just a big sign itself. The other week, I waited till 4:30. It was me, another driver called Tony. We had Evan, Sean and Sam. And we was waiting to unload our 18-ton. And I was driving the 3.5-ton van. And we got the keys at 4:25, I think it was. I mean, we do have a cut-off time past that. And it would have had to go in storage. But it just come at the last minute. And we was loaded, let's say, for 12 o'clock. So we sat there. It was cold and yeah, you can imagine. You don't mind sitting after your lunch for half an hour and having a quick, you know, nap or something and then going, oh, let's go now. But, you know, 4.5 hours of it, it's painful to say the least. And we've got a lot of different characters at our company we have, which makes the company, you know, it makes a good team. So we've got some like myself who can just sit and sleep. We've got some old fidget bottoms that sitting there for 4.5 hours doesn't do them any good. And again, it depends on where you're waiting. You could be waiting for keys in the middle of nowhere and there's nothing around. I think a few of the lads like it. If there's a shop, the odd shop around, if you're waiting for keys, they can go and get a drink or something. But key waiting.
But even then, when you get the keys, you've then got to unload this 18-tonner.
Yeah, you're right. And especially the worst thing is about that is if it's a job where you've got dismantling reassembling to do, because you can't leave that customer. It's okay, once we've got them keys in at 5 o'clock, the solicitors, estate agents, they'll go home at 5 o'clock and we're there. We need to build that customer's bed, we do, because we wouldn't expect anybody to not have a bed for the night. Our name is the last line of contact before they're in their new home. And that's how you remember it, move-in day, the removal man. And we, to be fair, a couple of weeks ago, when I did wait late on that job, the good thing was we got very close to the door. So we had one lad, I think it was Sean, was on the back of the lorry. Myself was in between the lorry and the front door. And the other three lads were inside. And we do a shuttle. So Sean was passing it to me off the back of that. I was dropping in and then three were dispersing of it. And when you want to get a move on with something like that, that's the best way to do it, it is. Because you don't want to be waiting for people coming downstairs and stuff. And yeah.
But then what do you do about the waiting? Do you charge the customer?
We do. We have a thing called the key waiver. We do.
Yeah.
Which is on all our quotes. Unless it's a small job we're doing, which they've got the keys or they wouldn't need to pay that. But we offer a key waiver service. It's a one-off waiver that covers the customer from 1 o'clock till 4:30 for any waiting time.
Yeah.
That's an optional that they can take out at the start of the, when the quote comes out, it'll come removal, cost, there'll be packing, if they wanted that, there'll be disposal, dismantling, all these options, a bit like when you're booking a holiday and you want to add this on, you want to add that on or something. So they're all add-ons and it's a risk some people take. If not, it is the fee that we charge. The one-off fee is charged per the hour. So if they're waiting for an hour, it's only the same as them paying the key waiver.
Yeah.
This sum of money. But then if it goes on after, you know, it swings and roundabout. Some people risk it. Some people some people decide, no point risking it. We'll take that out with you.
Trouble is you're out on a job till bloody late then.
Oh, you tell me about it. And I mean, I don't want to be out late anyway. Nobody does. But in the summer, I would say it's not half as bad. You know, in the summer, if it's a night, let's say it was a Wednesday night and I wouldn't say that I haven't got anything to go back home for. It sounds pretty sad, but it was a night where you're not doing anything and you think, okay, it's going to take us till 6 past 6. One of them things. The sun's out, you're with the lads and I don't think it's half as bad. Yeah, within the winter, it's raining cold and that. You just don't fancy it.
You also don't want to be getting home at 8, 9 o'clock at night. If it's a local move, it's not too far from your offices. Not too bad, maybe. But if you've then got to unload for 4 hours and then you've got a 2-hour drive, you could be getting back to the yard at 9, 10 o'clock at night to be back in at, 7 the following morning?
And it does happen, I mean, when we're doing distance, we do like to try and assure that completion day is the day we load up. The customer has the keys, they then stay out. And then the next day, I make this decision. I do. When I see what work we've got and I talk with my mum or Debbie in the office, I say, look, we're going distance, 5:30. 5:30 is the time we start. We've got the keys. Let's beat rush hour. If we're going down south to like London, or if we're going up north, because in Nottingham, we're sort of in the middle, really, we are. So I just think, why not get there, get the stuff off and get back while it's still light.
So any other challenges in the removal industry then, James?
Any other challenges? I think, I wouldn't say it's a challenge. I'd say it's part of the job role that I intake, but staff.
That's a challenge regardless of what industry you're in.
Definitely. But it's a challenge that I enjoy and thrive on, because something like that for me, I like to get the best out of people. I'm a winner and I want the best. And I don't know where this is. Well, I say I do know where it's come from. I've worked in schools and coached. I've worked with kids that sort of had a few safeguarding issues. And for me, it was rewarding. And I took quite a lot of that skill and brought it into this business I did. My mum and dad and they've been very successful with this business, you know, to be doing it 20 years, any family-run business. Staffing has been very hard for them, and it's not their strongest point when they were coming along through the years, because they were nice. And that doesn't make me sound like a bad boss. I'm not nice.
Probably too nice.
Too nice is the word, yes. Because they didn't want to come across as, oh, we're just another company, you're another number and this and that, and we're a family-run business, so let's keep it all friendly. Now, I do that. I do that with my lads. And I call them my lads because we're part of a team. If, like yesterday, I was on a job. It was a 5-bedroom house in a local village near us. And I'll be there lifting furniture with them till the end. Oh, you know, we're all in this together, we are. But there's boundaries, and I think often in removals, people sometimes don't see it as a profession and sometimes as a serious job. And it actually is. What I've done over these last couple of years, I've moulded them how we want them. And if you put time and invest, and I think a big thing is investment, and it doesn't mean money when you invest. Investing your own time and ideas into these people, you will get the better out of them.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, I'm sat in my room now. I just look across. I've got a whiteboard, and with it being February today, the first day of the month, we do a thing. We get reviews through all the time. And at the middle of last year, started up a program for the lads, and it says on my board now, it says most reviews, named reviews for February 2024. So January's finished yesterday.
Yeah. I've
got a list of all the lads, and if you get your name mentioned, especially in a review,
yeah,
you get a tick next to it. And the member of staff with the most ticks at the end of the month gets a voucher for a meal, or a voucher for whatever they want, you know, just a little saying thank you for going above and beyond this month.
Yeah.
Like I say, we get reviews, but to be mentioned, I think that must mean that you've gone to that extra special bit. And when I say extra special, I don't mean the unpacked all the boxes from put the clothes away and stuff. I think what we've taught and what we've guided our lads with is to be courteous and to be polite. And you don't have to go over the top and do everything for the customer. You need to just make sure they're happy. They've got their priorities right. They've got somewhere to sit for the night. They've got their bed to sleep on. And another thing is, and this is probably a bit where I'm a bit OCD-ish, is tidiness. Now, our vehicles have to be tidy.
Oh, absolutely.
I cannot stand a messy vehicle. And it's first impressions again, Colin, like absolutely. When we pull up.
Absolutely.
We've had training days. We've had chats with the lads, and I go on about my mom and dad over the years. If you're a person that can talk to people or tell people what to do, that's you. If you can't, then that's nothing to say against you. You know, you've got your strong points of view as a manager, you've got your other parts, and I don't mind saying anything to anybody. I'm not doing it to be horrible, I'm doing it for the best for them, so they can work with us and a career, and the best for us, so we get the best out of them. So I emphasise on tidiness and cleanliness of vehicles, blankets to always be folded before the end of the job, always swept out after. And I still have to remind them now, but from where we've come from, and you just think, oh yeah, we just pull up a job, pull the back down. You know, I've seen people, there's a Coke can there, there's a Mars bar wrapper. First impression is if somebody's goods are going in there, it needs to be ship shape. And if I lead from the front and the start and the top, that's how I put myself out there, then it will follow suit.
It's a bit like having your truck turn up outside someone's house and it's covered in mud because you haven't had time to wash it. You then often think, well, if it's like that on the outside, what's it like on the inside?
Yeah, of course, yeah.
I'm with you with that one.
Advertisement as well. You know, you could be moving somebody at number 3 and somebody at number 9 could be thinking of moving. They look across and they see you with all stuff.
It is one of your biggest advertising boards.
Oh, of course it is. They're advertising boards where your vehicle's parked there. And also, uniform. All our staff are fully uniformed. Green jumpers, green polos. We've got green hats that they have, green coats. We ask for black trousers.
Yep.
No logos like Nike or Adidas or anything like that. They are allowed tracksuit bottoms as long as they're plain. And again, you look part of a team, a part of a uniform, united together. On our social medias, we all look together. You know, you don't want people in a Man U top or anything like that. You just look like you've picked them up from the pub or on the corner.
I totally agree with you. I totally agree. If you could change anything from your moving past, what would it be?
Now, the answer to this, and I've got it written down in front of me, would be, I wouldn't change a thing. We're only going forward from here. This is a journey we're on together, and nothing would be changed.
Good answer, James. Good answer. Straight to the point.
I thought about that one I had, Colin, and I thought, I wouldn't change anything. We've made mistakes along the way. Myself, you know, I've made mistakes. My mom, my dad, we've all made, all the staff, we all make mistakes. We're only human.
And we learn from them.
Yeah, we do learn from them. And I say this to my lads, like, if I show them something, I expect to show them once or twice, and then from there they learn it. If they don't learn it after once or twice, I have to look how I'm telling that individual. Do I need to mold my way I'm speaking or training to that individual because they might learn differently?
Yeah.
And you have to do that, and sometimes I do. But no, but I wouldn't change anything. I'd just say that it's a journey that you're coming along all the time. We're in 2024 now, so whereas 10 years ago you would have had somebody, you know, on pen and paper sending a letter maybe, now it's via email, now it's via Instagram message or Messenger, and you have to go with the times or you get stuck behind.
What is this letter thing you talk of? So what is your high point of being in the industry?
What is the high point? Working with different customers is a high point of the job. You meet so many.
I thought you were going to say with your mum and dad then.
Oh, of course, I better say that when they hear this back. Yeah, working with different customers, different people, you see so much of the country. Some of the laughs that we have with like the lads, like, you're serious on the job, but if you don't have a laugh, it makes the day go so much longer.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean you have to have a laugh where you're messing around and, you know, looking like you're clowning around, but you can just have little bits of banter between yourself. You know, someone might be on the back of the lorry and you have a laugh about something and you might see something, and it makes the job go a lot smoother and easier. And like I said earlier, I'm proud of the staff we've got and that the way we've molded them and the great customer service skills we've got, being polite and helpful. On a day-to-day basis at near and far, I'll come down. The normal start time is 7:30, Colin, so I'll get down here about 7:15, open up the offices, put the heaters on, which I forgot the other day, actually. They weren't very happy.
So all the girls in the office have got their paper blankets out the warehouse.
Yeah, wrapped themselves up there while the lads are freezing in the yard. But no, I come and open up, I do, and get a job sheet. So every crew that goes out has a job sheet, and no crew's ever the same, really. We like to keep some people together because they work well together, but everybody works with everybody here. You'll have a job sheet telling you both addresses, whether they've got possession of keys, and then it's job information. So that way it goes on to what I was saying earlier about whether we're doing dismantling, whether it's day one of a pack or whether it's just load and deliver, whether something's staying behind. So let's say we went and did the quote, me and my dad, and bedrooms, twos, chest of drawers were staying behind. That'd be noted on the job sheet so the lads don't come along and go, oh, well, we haven't been told about that. You know, it's all clear on these job sheets, and it's something for them to follow it as. Along with the job sheet, we have a risk assessment in there we do. It's a generic one, but should it be anything out of the norm, like a piano or a hot tub or something extreme, that they've got that there if they have to take any extra precautions or things like that. And the last thing that's in the job sheet is a review card with each member of staff's name on it. So it would say, for example, I don't know, Craig, Evan, and Dan. And then that's given to the customer to leave a review, whether it be on our Google, our Facebook, Checker Trade, Age UK, all these local businesses we work with in partnerships. And the reviews are what reviews, really, I would say, are a good percentage of our work, because you're only as good as your last job, really.
Oh, there's a lot of truth in that one.
Yeah.
There's a lot of truth in that. You're clearly keen on this industry and you have an excitement about you. How would you sell this industry to somebody wanting to work in it?
Well, thank you for saying that first of all, Colin. How would I sell this industry?
I'm just curious of what your tagline would be as such, or how you would sell to get more people into this industry. Because it's a dying trade. It is a dying trade.
Yeah, yes. I would say be prepared to be amazed. Because because like my week this week has consisted of, and this is obviously just being different to just being a removal man. So Monday I was on a first aid course and then I did a bit in the office after. Okay, so that was a local council putting on free first aid courses, so we said why not.
Yep.
Tuesday, I was loading on a job. I then came back to the office and I did a bit of paperwork that I needed to sort out for keeping of lorries and things, just tyre checks and bits like that. Yesterday, I loaded and unloaded a job. Today, I've been out with Katie in the office. We went to a couple of estate agents that are in Nottingham that we haven't visited, and we wanted to try and get a partnership with them, and it was quite successful actually this morning. So that's just in 4 days of this week it is, you know, plus coming down to, at 7:30 every day. And I mean, it's never ending. Obviously, it's never ending for myself because I play a big, big part in the company. Even for a removal, like, let's say, there's another James that works for the company. He also lives in the area that we live in, quite local, and he's a porter that works for us. Really good at his job, really efficient on it, and works well. For him, some weeks he can do weeks from 30 hours to 50 hours, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, and sometimes you'll go, oh, that was a hard... You could do 50 hours, and it could be an easy week. You could do 30 hours, but it could be a hard one because you've done a flat that had no lift on the sixth floor.
Rather him than me, I can tell you.
Yeah.
So what one thing would you change within the moving industry?
Completion day itself.
Oh, dear me. Is it ever going to change?
It could be so much easier and simple and more organised with keys and self-movers especially. Now, no disrespect to anybody with anything like that, but there is nobody that guides anybody on moving day. And it often falls down to us as removals. Like as a removal company, we might have an elderly couple that haven't moved for 60 years or something.
Yeah,
I don't know, 50 years. And they'd be all doing the pre-move call, which they do the day before. So, I don't know, somebody's moving today. They would have had a pre-move call yesterday about what happens on the day. And you might get that customer asking, well, what happens with when do we get our keys? And we do guide and help as much as we can because we want it to be smooth. But really, as a removal company, we're there to move the things. You know, keys aren't our sort of department, if I could say. And that's not me shoving it onto somebody else. That's saying, well, who is helping these people? It's a big thing. It happens every day in this country. Whether we could do a... not as herself, but whether the government could do a TV an hour's program on what to do on moving day. You know, but I could rant. I mean, I go to a gym after work. I do where there's a spa, and I often sit in this jacuzzi and we just rant about things. We were ranting about something the other night, and there's so many things I think. I sound like I'm putting the world to rights here, but in the country that we could do to make the country run better. And one of them being moving house. Completion day, you have to be out by this time.
Yeah.
You need everything packed up in boxes if you're moving house. There's many a things there is that people just don't learn. You don't learn about that moving house at school, do you? Who teaches you about this? And some people move 6-7 times they do. And it's something you have to learn and pick up yourself. But if you're not guided with it or told by a relative or a friend what you need to do, you just think, well, some people are coming to put some stuff in a lorry.
That's it. The sad reality is that customers think a truck is going to appear and some burly guys are going to jump out. They're going to lift and shift your furniture, move it to the new location, unload, and that's it. Without realizing that that day could be 6 hours, it could be 12 hours. They've got to do exactly the same again the following day, and they've likely done exactly the same previous day.
Yeah, exactly that. And each day takes its toll on you. Some days somebody might have it, their keys. The next day somebody hasn't got their keys or they've just got a load of boxes. You know, somebody might have 50 boxes and 2 pieces of furniture.
Yeah.
Some people might have 2 lorries full of furniture and it's getting darker. Obviously, somebody's going to a smaller property, for example, Colin, and they've taken the same amount of stuff from a 4-bedroomed house to a 2-bedroomed. And you're like,
how are you going to get all this in?
Yeah, and it's going in the garage and these covers going on stuff and yeah.
So what advice would you give yourself just starting out again in the industry?
I would say don't go over the top with buying too many new covers. When I say covers, I mean every industry you work in, you have suppliers of things you do. And I look sometimes and I see dining chair covers, picture covers, this cover, that cover. And I think for somebody especially that's starting out that thinks, oh, I need to go out and spend a load of money on that, you don't. We have a very sufficient amount of blankets on our vehicles. We have mattress bags because I feel like they are essential because that's something you sleep on. And we have TV covers. But the extra things like dining chair covers, if sufficiently blanketed, they will be all right. Because you come to a job and you've got six dining chair covers, a washing machine cover, this, that, the other. You can't move to do the job.
A cover for the customer as well.
Yeah, exactly. The best way to get work is by doing a good service and have a good name for yourself, I would say. Good reviews against your name and that will get around. A lot of our working not even comes from that. It's like if you go to a restaurant, you will say to somebody, if you go to a restaurant and you have a nice steak, you would go, oh, I had a really nice steak there Saturday night.
Yeah.
If you go and the steak's rubbery, then somebody says, oh, what do you do at the weekend? You will remember that rubbery steak, you will.
I remember the good one as well.
Yeah, exactly. So moving day can be stressful enough as it is. So you need somebody there that's going to make it easier and better for you. You don't want somebody there that's going to be panicking themselves, not know what to do. And so, yeah, that's the advice I'd give. I'd say don't go over the top with things, blanket bits of furniture, and make sure you're not too over the top, because some people just do want their belongings moving.
Yeah.
They don't want all this extra stuff. But then you get the customer that, like I said yesterday, that had dismantling their furniture, had a bit of everything, and they want it all done for them. Yeah.
So where do you see yourself in the industry in the next 5 years?
Ooh.
Where is Games going to be in 5 years' time? Obviously, Mum will be then working one day a week rather than four. Dad will be on the golf course 5 days a week.
He already is, isn't he? We have a joke about that actually, kind of around the place we do. And it's good that we have that joke. And they're two very, they're actually very inspirational people for me. I've got a sister as well, but I don't have any cousins, nieces. I have two nieces, actually. I haven't got any cousins or extended family like that. I've got one granddad, so no other grandparents. So there's a very small family. There's mum, dad, sister, and me who grew up together. And we have my granddad, and obviously my sister's got married now, so I have a brother-in-law and two nieces. But I would say it's a hard question because mum and dad will be still doing it. they are easy enough. And being your own business, that's what they can do. At the end of the day, your own business, you do what you want in your own business.
Yeah.
They have cruise and holidays, but they deserve that because people don't see sometimes my dad's out working quotes at 6 o'clock at night, you might have, when everyone else is at home and things like that. But that comes part and parcel of it. And he knows that he does. But then like a Thursday will come in the middle of summer and he'll be, like you say, 2 o'clock in the afternoon and finished 18 hours and he'll be having a beer, he will. But for me, I think especially this last year, we've just gone up and up and up. We have. I'd just say to continue being the best we can be.
Yeah.
Providing the best service. Yeah, I like being, if we're going to do something, we as a company or me as a person, I like it to be done to the best. And the best doesn't mean, and that's what I was on about with covers and investment earlier, the best doesn't have to involve money. Everybody thinks that you've got to be the best. You've got to buy a lorry that's 2024 and you've got to have the best this and the best that. It doesn't mean that at all. The best is doing a good job. No damages. And for me, damages, it's not part and parcel of the job, but it happens. We all make accidents. And damage has often happened, I'd say 90% of the time, carelessness. Switched off on the brain and somebody banged into a wall with, I don't know, a unit. And they didn't mean to probably do it, but they've switched off on a long day or something and it's took their toll on them. No one goes around thinking, right, I'm going to bash that. Otherwise, we wouldn't be in business. It happens, but we try, touch wood, we haven't had any this year. We do keep a record just for our sake and the lad's sake, just so we can look and back. And if it is a reoccurrence, why are we having this? Because I defy anybody go through any job, especially removals, without making a mistake, whether that goes in at that angle or whether that wardrobe will come down. And it's a hard job, and it's not just, like I said many a time, just putting things on the back of a van and going.
And it's good to keep an eye on damages and who's causing the damages, because if you've got a member of staff that's not constantly but is causing more damage than the others, you don't take them aside and give them a rollicking. You take them aside and offer them more training. Again, put drama around them.
Yeah. If something was occurring, the questions would be asked. Well, why is X?
No.
Why are they having this problem every time with sofas? And we do training days. We haven't had one this year yet. We had one in November, I believe it was. And training days at Near and Far consist of coming in about 9:30. So not a normal start. It's a bit later. Have your breakfast at home. Come in about 9:30. The girls in the office carry on working. My mum comes in on it with me. I lead it along with my mum. And that's the time to get across what our expectations are. This goes away from talking to a customer now, me talking to a customer on a quote. This goes for me being like, as a manager, my expectations are, for a start, you're on time. If you're running 5 minutes late, that has a 5 minute late effect on the job. It's having sharp expectations, but having these sharp expectations and firm quality standards that we have, it reflects in the reviews. And I always say to the lads, the more reviews we get, you must be doing a good job. You know, something must be all clicking. Absolutely. And connecting right. And the more reviews you get, the more work we get. It's a win-win for everybody. And on a training, they will pick up the good points that have happened over the last couple of months. And then we'll touch on points that haven't worked so well, or so-and-so's leaving their lorry in a bit of a mess. And, you know, let's try and work on that.
Just general improvements.
Yeah, of course it is. And if you didn't, everybody would come to a standstill, they would. Everybody would be happy and think, oh yeah, I'm doing okay, I am. I'm happy to just keep coming back every day with my rubbish and my lunch and my, until it comes to a state where somebody has to deal with it.
Yeah.
And so long as the lads know that they're on their toes. And a good thing about a training day as well at Near and Far is we always say, is there anything we can do?
Yeah.
You know, it's not all one way. We like to know if there's anything the lads want us to do. Is there anything we can do as a company to improve? Is there anything we can offer to you lads? The benefits for working at Near and Far, we, for example, birthdays. We give all our lads their birthday off. A full paid day, though. So we will pay for 8 hours for them, we will.
Try not to laugh.
We had a Christmas do recently. We did. We took them into town there as we did, went out for some food. It was a tapas that was really nice. And that was the office staff and the lads together. Yeah. So it's not two separate teams, you know, it's all one together. Yeah. And then a few of us went out for a few more beverages after. 3 o'clock Sunday morning, I think I came in.
Oh, dear. Do you see any change in the industry in the next 5 years, though, James?
In the industry itself? Do I see any change in the industry? I don't think I do see any change in it. I think the only changes you will see is from individuals themselves. Like as at Near and Far, where I said over the last year, we've tried to make improvements to come along with the 21st century, and people that are stuck behind in the times, then, you know, I would encourage them to come along and try different new things, because it was all new for us at one point. We have a system on our computers.
Yep.
So we work off that, and everybody can access it in the office. I can access it. My mum and dad can access it. So when I say everyone, I don't mean the lads can access it. So if I need to go on and just check on a job detail or something for something that's going on in my head, I can do that. And we never used to run with a platform like that. And now we swear by it, you know, that's where all the data is kept, all the information archived, everything is on there. I can't see a lot changing in the industry. No, I can't really, but who knows?
So what do you do outside of the industry to switch off? Obviously, you're a keen footballer.
Yeah, I'm a keen footballer, I am. That's been my passion all my life, football. Other side from them football, other hobbies that I've got. I try and play golf. I'm not as good as my dad. I ain't got a handicap or anything, but I enjoy fishing. That's the time where I probably, in my life, that's probably the biggest time where I relax. Yeah. And the reason for that is I leave my phone away so nobody can contact me.
Good.
And that stops me going on social media. It stops me, anybody contacting me. I'm just going to go for a day's fishing on my own. And I do go with my dad if we get a chance. Like if I'm not playing football in the summer, on a Saturday, we'll go together. that's how I relax. I relax at night time in the week by going, if I'm not at football, I go to the spa, sit in the jacuzzi, again, getting away from my phone because it's in my locker. And then on a Saturday night after football, I like to go out into town and enjoy myself with my mate. So
Why not?
You've got to, haven't you?
Got to let your hair down from time to time.
Certainly.
Can't all just be work, work, work.
Well, it can't, no. And you say that, but you can be sat in bed at 10:30 at night and something can pop into your head. And you say it can't be, but when it is your own or your family business, it does. It does take it over sometimes. You have to... My dad's very good at switching off from it. Because I think he's been in the industry so long. Like, he's like, yeah. Whereas me and my mum have quite active brains. So if we do something pop into our head and we're not talking about it, we'll just send an email into work off our phone, just reminding us, you know, just off our private email into the work email, just so we can pick it up on Monday morning. And then we haven't got to think, I've got to remember to do that on Monday.
Yeah, I do that myself. If I'm watching sport on TV or if I'm on a train going into London, for example, I'm always on my phone. I'm always researching stuff. If I find something of interest, it's then sent straight back to my work email address so I can look it up the following day in more detail. Always doing it. Never switch off.
Yeah, it's a good idea.
And finally, I like to end my podcast with a funny moving story. Do you have one or more to tell?
Again, I thought about this question and I have loads, but it's remembering them all. And like, if you have a funny story most weeks, you move strange items, you move, I was going to say strange people, it doesn't sound good, different characters.
What's the strangest item you've moved then, James?
Strangest item I've moved. It probably isn't the strangest item that I moved, but I moved some concrete Buddhas once and a lady asked us to put handkerchiefs, they're in the garden ornaments, handkerchiefs over their eyes so they couldn't see where they were going. Yeah, we have it all.
Oh my word, that's a bit zen.
Yeah, exactly that. And you just get pick up little memories all the way along you do through removals, I think. And that's what makes the funny stories. Like, I was thinking about, what funny stories do I tell? I have to think, are they appropriate to tell for a start?
They're always appropriate, James. They're always appropriate.
Things you find. And when I was at school, I was doing this as a part-time summer job and things with my dad. I remember one day, we was on a big... quite a big job. There was about, I think it was 4 or 5 men, and I'm probably only 15 or something at the time. And anyway, I pulled this chest of drawers out and there is this photograph. So I turn it over and it was my teacher in a mankini, it was. Under the chest of drawers. And I was like telling the lads and my dad, I was laughing about it. And I went downstairs in this house and I went, do you know so-and-so, this person's name? And they were like, yeah, how do you know? I was like, oh, it's my teacher. I'm just finding a picture of him in a mankini.
See, now today, you would have grabbed your mobile phone out, you would have taken a picture of that and you would have seen it on social media. Yeah,
that's the thing, though. You would have, getting your social media to get you everywhere. But
oh, brilliant.
You do some jobs you do that are... not the cleanest and things like that. And another job, I wouldn't say it wasn't the cleanest, it wasn't the tidiest of places. It was a chap that was moving to Brighton, and I think this was about 6-7 years ago now. And he was on his own, and there was, I don't know, pickles in a jar from 1998 and things like that. And he had disco balls up in his house. And it was a funny character, but he was a lovely bloke. And sometimes that's all that matters. And anyway, we're bringing some stuff downstairs, and my dad and a bloke called Sean were carrying a wardrobe, and I was carrying something with somebody else, I think, a man called Andy, that used to work for us. And the customer's name was Jeremy, and he heard us having a bit of a laugh and things he did, and he come along and he went, that room there had my pet mouse in it. He's died now. He got caught in a trap. His name was Elvis. Carrying this thing because we wasn't expecting it from this man. You can imagine tears were running down the eyes because you was just thinking, where's that come from, Jeremy? Mine's always caught in a trap, and he was just like, wow, where's that come from? We just stopped on these stairs laughing for like 5-10 minutes.
See, customers make this job.
Yeah, of course they do. The customers, some customers you don't get a drink from. Some customers you end up with Domino's pizzas, you know. they make or break it, they do. And I think I always tell my lads, you introduce yourself with your name when you get there and shake the hand and ask the customer how they prefer to be addressed. Some people would prefer to by the first name or Mr. Smith, for example. It, you know, get build that relationship from the moment you come in. And then throughout the job, you've got that along with them asking them at the new property where they want something to go. And I think they feel more at ease and more relaxed then.
No, definitely. Definitely. Well, James, this is the end of the podcast. Thank you very much for giving up your time this afternoon to record this episode with me. I truly appreciate it.
Thank you for that, Colin. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you very much indeed. I sincerely hope you enjoyed episode 81 of Moving Matters. Please rate, review and subscribe in your favourite podcast player of choice, and please tell your industry colleagues about Moving Matters. My thanks and appreciation go to James Langridge of Near and Far Removals for giving up his time to record this episode. Thank you again, James. If you would like to know more about Near and Far Removals and the services they provide, then you will find links in the show notes for this episode and on our webpage, movingmatterspodcast.co.uk. Now, regarding completion days, I'm pleased to announce that the BAR have just updated their Avoid the Headache guide, providing further information for home movers on what they need to do to help them have access to their new home by 1 p.m. on moving day. So, if you are a BAR member, do go and grab the latest version from the BAR website. And please, if you have a funny moving story that could be relayed to our listeners, or you would like to be a guest on the podcast, then do reach out to me by completing the contact form on our webpage, movingmatterspodcast.co.uk. Well, that is all from me, so until next time, keep moving.